Cognition.
We hold these truths to be self-evident. We hold these truths to be self-evident. We hold these truths to be self-evident. We hold these truths to be self-evident.
Attention, this is Mad Mike from Underground Resistance in Detroit, Michigan. You're listening to Andrew Duke. Peace and stay underground.
To be self-evident, we hold these truths to be self-evident.
I still have a dream.
My name is Andrew Duke. The show is called In the Mix. Detroit's Dan Seco has been writing about electronic music and techno for almost a decade now. He's been writing for magazines such as Rolling Stone, Rez, Raygun, Alternative Press. He got his start with Wired. He's done quite a bit of writing for Herb magazine. Since 1993, he's been publishing the online techno magazine called Reverb. You can find that at reverbmag.com. And it was actually an article he wrote for Herb magazine a couple years back about techno that made him think to himself, what would I write about if I were to do a book? Well, he's now published that book. It's out now on New York's Billboard Books, and it's called Techno Rebels, The Renegades of Electronic Funk. We're talking now with Detroit's Dan Seco, and I want to ask you, first of all, Dan, what was it that made you move from the what would I do if I were to write a book to actually getting things started on that book, Techno Rebels?
I don't know. I think it's just one of those things where I started exploring the possibilities, and I just kept following along. You know, I think I bought a book at one point, you know, how to write a book proposal, and you know, pretty much the cliched way you would expect somebody to go about doing this, and just followed along and got a really nice proposal together, and started sending that out to a few agents, literary agents, and found one, or actually found a couple that were interested. Picked one that was local, a guy who had actually done some work with Kenny Larkin, so I thought that was a plus, that he actually knew what I was talking about, and he happened to hook it up with Billboard Books, and, you know, it was just the continued interest in it, you know, was the inspiring part, and that, and I just thought that there needed to be a more lasting document, you know, to the evolution of techno, and specifically from a Detroit perspective. I think a lot of things that, you know, get discussed with Detroit techno seem to come off a little bit like, you know, mythological lore sometimes, you know, because there is so much passion behind it, and some of the personalities are larger than life, and there's so much rich history here. It almost, you know, to an outsider seems unbelievable, I think. And so I wanted to, at one point, or on one hand, communicate, you know, why people are so passionate about that and why Detroit is so unique. And on the other hand, kind of bring it down to earth and put it in terms that that people can understand, rather than writing specifically from an insider's perspective. So, you know, I think it was two things. You know, I think it was the passion behind it that I've always had behind techno music, and to be honest, you know, commercial interest in the project, you know, that definitely, you know, spurred me along. I didn't necessarily expect to get, you know, U.S. interest in the subject, but luckily I did. Billboard Books is kind of like a cousin of Billboard Magazine. It's not quite the on the same level of profile, but, you know, nevertheless, it's name recognition, and you know, that's part of what I was trying to give to techno music. So, not that it necessarily needs it. You know, obviously we've seen how successful underground, you know, underground marketing can push the music along. But you know, I definitely wanted to have an above ground document that people could go into, you know, a bookstore chain and pick up and buy. You know, that's the kind of lasting document that I wanted to leave. Not something that, you know, gets photocopied and passed around, you know, in dark alleys or something.
Now, Dan, once you had to go ahead from Billboard Books in New York to do the book Techno Rebels, what were the biggest challenges you faced in writing the book?
It's funny, you know, I one of the assumptions that I had made was that, you know, being here in Detroit would be of great advantage, and to some degree it was, but for a lot of ways it wasn't, because so many Detroit DJs now are, you know, are playing, playing sets all over the world, you know, almost every weekend, getting a hold of people was quite a problem at certain points along the way. But I think I did fairly well. The other thing was trying to balance how much Detroit content I wanted to keep in the book, because I knew that I couldn't do, and I don't think it would be fair to do, you know, history of techno music and just talk about Detroit. But I knew there was going to be, you know, a large chunk of it. So, you know, I had an outline in place, and it was, we kind of revised that, I think, twice along the way of how I was going to juggle the different developments in techno in and out of Detroit, and how I was going to do that in a timeline, because it's mostly linear, with I think one unique jump in it. But so really organizationally and just plain getting a hold of people were the two biggest issues. Oh, and I should also say, to anyone who's also thinking of writing a book, not necessarily on this subject, but just in general, is don't discount how much busy work you actually have to do. I think I probably spent more time setting up interviews and, you know, driving to meet somebody, or, you know, researching, than I actually did writing, you know. I definitely underestimated, you know, the amount of time that would go into this project. You know, because you're pretty much, you know, after you spend several years writing, you have a good handle on how long it takes to actually write any given, you know, write about any given subject. But, man, I learned my lesson with this one. So.
With that in mind, Dan, were there certain people that you wanted to interview for the book that you couldn't for various reasons, or certain things you wanted to put in the book that you couldn't?
Oh, yeah. Well, like I said, you know, I had to make a balance of the Detroit content, and I think I picked, you know, probably the three pivotal time spans in Detroit techno, kind of the prehistory, like 78 to 82, and the, you know, like 88 to 90, you know, the big boom in the UK that, you know, Detroit helped push along, and then... you know, it seems like a completely distinct era after that, but immediately following that, the 90 to 92 and the rise of Plus AUR, Retroactive, and 430 West. But then after that, like say 92 on, I pretty much kind of skimmed around that, and there's a lot of people in Detroit that fall into that time frame that I didn't get to talk to. And you know, once I made that decision, I knew that I couldn't talk to, and it's kind of unfortunate, but, you know, that was just one of the decisions I had to make. So that was probably the biggest, you know, set of people that I didn't get to talk to. The second thing, you know, there were people like Don Was that I really wanted to get a hold of, but, you know, it's probably was the biggest persona on my list, so... I guess it makes sense that I wouldn't be able to get a hold of them. But, you know, the things that Was Not Was were doing in the late 70s and early 80s, I think were as inspirational to techno as Kraftwerk was, so, at least from the Detroit perspective. And I really wanted to get his take on it, and, you know, hear some stories and some praise about Ken Collier as well, who he worked with early on, so... I don't know, I mean, there's definitely, I could probably go on and on about people that I wanted to talk to but didn't get to, but I think any author would tell you the same thing about their subject matter. There's always something else that you wanted to touch but you didn't get a chance to.
Now, do you have plans to do more book writing, Dan?
Yeah, I think so. I'm going to be taking probably an equally long break from that kind of thing, probably another couple of years, and I have some ideas for what I want to do next. One probably, you know, would follow up on this subject, and one would be distantly related, but definitely. definitely still in the music field. But I'm not going to give those up just yet.
Now, Dan, you mentioned the late Ken Collier from Detroit. Who do you feel are some of the other pioneers who might not have got the recognition and appreciation that they deserve?
Well, obviously, you know, one of my favorite subjects was kind of that whole lost lost era, you know, after disco and before house. And, you know, Ken definitely falls into that. But kind of all the music that went into, you know, the mix in Detroit and what, you know, things like the Euro disco or Italo disco. And, you know, a lot of people talk about Giorgio Moroder, but they don't talk about, you know, Alexander Robotnik or Cerrone or a lot of the people that had Arcano, that had huge, you know, huge hits, even in the U.S. and not just in Detroit. But, you know, that kind of kept that continuum going. And I think, you know, as far as America's concerned, you know, once disco died, you know, so did all of dance music, it seemed. You know, that was the attitude, at least from the record industry. And there's just a lot of undiscovered artists along the way that I think deserve more recognition. And then, you know, there's groups like Yellow Magic Orchestra who definitely get some recognition, but I think need to be elevated, you know, to the same level as someone like Kraftwerk, because I think, in my opinion, you know, they were equal of an influence. They were doing what Kraftwerk was doing, but kind of in a more overtly fun way, you know. And I think you hear it in certain areas, hear a lot of that playfulness in techno, or at least you used to. And, you know, groups like Yellow and, you know, you name it, there's a lot of people that kind of filled that gap between disco and house, or disco and techno. And that's what I was really, you know, trying to do with that second chapter of the book, was kind of smooth out that continuum and show people, even from an American perspective, that, you know, you can connect the dots yourself. You probably just don't remember, or, you know, that a lot of these groups that America has probably forgotten that kept things progressing through the 80s.
Do you think a lot of that, Dan, is because people want to simplify and think things like techno equals Kraftwerk plus George Clinton, things like that?
Definitely. That was one of the things I was working really hard to dispel. As much as it's a great quote, you know, it really, I think, has done as much harm as it's done good over the years. You know, I didn't necessarily say it in the book, but I think that you can trace any number of timelines and evolutions of this music without counting Kraftwerk. You know, they were definitely a huge influence, but not everyone in Detroit was a huge Kraftwerk fan. You know, I think Juan obviously was probably the biggest one, but I don't think, you know, Kraftwerk did as much for every Detroit techno artist as people think. You know, there's lots and lots of other groups. And, you know, then there's the whole field that I kind of touched on but didn't get too far into, is all of that kind of electronic influenced R&B, you know, in the 80s, you know, like, the SOS band and all that was, you know, it's another way you can go that people don't usually think about. So to focus on, you know, like you said, A plus B equals C is really, really limiting and undercuts the whole, like, fluid nature of how music evolves. And I was, you know, it's really hard to do that, you know, obviously in something finite like a book. But I tried as best I can to show people, you know, how a music like this evolves and some of the pitfalls you can get into. You know, a lot of people forget that, you know, if it wasn't for kind of this, like, quirk of fate, we wouldn't be talking about Detroit techno. It would be Detroit house music, which is how they were going to market that first compilation on Virgin. It was going to be called The New House Sound of Detroit. And Juan Atkins was like one of the last people to contribute a song to that compilation. And you know, his song was called Techno Music, and a light bulb went off with Neil Rushton, the guy who was putting that together for Virgin, and that's when our music started getting marketed that way and known that way. The term had been around here and there, but that was really, you know, where it got married to the Detroit sound. And then that and the song Nude Photo, where I think the instrumentation really, really got different from what anything Chicago had done before, you know, where it got a little bit more dark and sinister and, more percussive bass lines coming in. That was another thing that kind of demarked what Detroit techno was about. But, and I think from that point on, things got more, people tried to simplify that explanation. And you hear a lot of, if you go back and read a lot of the early articles, people talk about Detroit techno being post-soul and, you know, how it's music devoid of soul, but yet still funky. And, you know, it really was kind of a very limited way of looking at the music. And, like you said, kind of tended to discount things like disco and soul music. And it's great that Detroit has or had a distinct sound, but I think you need to look at it in a larger continuum and not discount any specific sound or group as part of that, because early on, going and all the ingredients that came into techno, they didn't throw anything away. So why should we now, limit our understanding of the music?
And that is Dan Seco from Detroit. His book, Techno Rebels, The Renegades of Electronic Funk, is out now on New York's Billboard Books. You can check out more information on the book at the website www.techno-rebels.com. That's techno-rebels.com. My name is Andrew Duke. The show is called In the Mix. The music we've been hearing in this portion of the show has all been selected by Detroit's Dan Seco, and I'll give you a full rundown of what we've heard. Come back in a few minutes' time.
Cognition.
Hey, you got Kevin Thompson in Detroit, KMS, the dancer, going all the way with Andrew Duke in the mix.
music played during our Dan Seiko feature was all chosen by Dan Seiko from Detroit. We started off with Kevin Master, Reese Saunderson, and Santonio Eccles, recording as Reese and Santonio, Truth of Self-Evident. After that, from Juan Atkins and 3070, Cybotron, and from the Enter album from 1983, we heard Cosmic Rain Dance. Followed that up with material from Derek May's Rhythm is Rhythm. We heard the only mix of Move It. We heard from Galaxy to Galaxy and Journey of the Dragons from the wonderful double pack from 1994 on UR. We heard from Ritz von Oswald and Mark Ernestes, Basic Channel number 8, and a track called Radiance. And we're finishing everything off with Kenny Dixon Jr. from Detroit, Moody Man, and I Can't Kick This Feeling. My name is Andrew Duke. The show is called In the Mix, and we've got plenty of new music coming right up.